From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, March 2nd, 2017. And on this day, in a party-line vote, the Maine House has said no to an ethics review for Democratic Representative Ryan Tipping for his work on a ballot question campaign. And where Maine's congressional delegation stands on the Jeff Sessions issue. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
After some tense debate today, the Maine House voted along party lines to say no to an effort to convene an ethics review against a Democratic member who was paid $10,000 to work on a ballot question campaign. Mal Leary has the details.
Republicans in the House believe that Orono Representative Ryan Tipping violated House ethic rules by taking a paid position with the group pushing passage of Question 2 on the fall ballot. That's the measure that imposes a 3% surtax on household incomes over $200,000 a year to fund local schools. Tipping served on the Education Committee at the time and is now co-chair of the Taxation Committee. Tipping says he checked with staff at the State Ethics Commission before he took the job and was told it was not a violation. But that response doesn't satisfy House Republican leader Ken Fredette of Newport, who told colleagues on the House floor that the Ethics Commission is different from the House Ethics Committee.
If there's going to be any reference made to the Ethics Commission, that the reference can be made to Jonathan Wayne, the executive director, who gave an informal opinion. The Ethics Commission never addressed this issue.
The objection, point of order, has been noted.
House Democratic leader Aaron Herbick of Belfast denounced the Republicans' call to convene the House Ethics Committee as a political stunt and reminded lawmakers of the tremendous amount of work they have to do this session.
As for me, I want to know when we're going to stop wasting precious time. Enough already. It's time to get back to work.
The debate became heated at times, prompting several objections and points of order fielded by Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon, who had this exchange with Republican Jeff Timberlake of Turner.
This is about someone who has taken clean election money and then got paid to promote an issue or campaign.
The member will defer. Clean elections do not apply to the House order in front of us. The member may proceed.
Madam Speaker, I'd agree with you.
Angry charges flew back and forth as Gideon warned several representatives of the impropriety of questioning the motives of other House members. The order to have the Ethics Committee investigate Tipping's actions was defeated on a party-line vote of 64 to 77, and some lawmakers from both parties fear that such a contentious class so early in this session does not bode well for the months ahead. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
As we've been hearing today, Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he will recuse himself from a federal investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 White House election. So where do Maine's congressional delegates stand on the whole Sessions situation? Well, Maine Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree says Sessions should resign. Independent Senator Angus King said earlier that Sessions should recuse himself. And for the first time, Republican Senator Susan Collins joined a growing number of GOP lawmakers saying Sessions should not be involved in the Russia probe. Steve Missler has our story.
Collins was essentially a character witness for Sessions during his confirmation hearing. She helped introduce him, and she defended him against allegations of racism. Collins said Thursday that she still believes Sessions is a person of integrity.
It is nevertheless important for the credibility of this very important investigation that there not be any question at all about the validity of the findings.
Findings, that is, about an FBI investigation that will not only explore Russian meddling in the election, but also whether there was any collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials. Sessions was an early Trump backer, joining the campaign early last year. He even warmed up the crowd for Trump's October rally in Bangor. That relationship, and the fact that the FBI reports directly to Sessions, prompted Republicans and Democrats to call for a special prosecutor in the Russia probe. Independent Angus King told Maine Public Radio Monday that he supports the move.
He was a member of his campaign organization. He campaigned for him. I think he should recuse himself, and prominent Republicans have said the same thing.
King was not available for an interview on Thursday, but he released a statement saying the new allegations against Sessions were, quote, serious and troubling. King and Collins both say Sessions should correct and clarify his confirmation testimony. Sessions announced in a press conference that he plans to do just that. He denied that he discussed the campaign with the Russian ambassador. Sessions also said that he would recuse himself. In a written statement, Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin appeared to make a distinction between Sessions' ability to oversee the Russian probe and one involving Sessions himself. If the AG himself is the subject of an investigation, Poliquin's statement read, he should recuse himself. Meanwhile, Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree did not mince words.
It seems, A, that he should certainly recuse himself from any investigation, but more so, I think he should step down in that position.
Pingree said Mainers and Americans are increasingly concerned about Russian ties to Trump and his associates. She says those concerns grow with every report that appears to connect a longtime American adversary with a newly sworn-in president. For her part, Senator Collins says calls for Sessions' resignation are premature. She says the FBI investigation and a parallel probe by the Senate Intelligence Committee should be completed before anyone jumps to conclusions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
As we age, some of us may reach a point where we can no longer live independently. Assisted living is often the next step. While the typical assisted living model houses dozens of residents, there's a growing trend to offer smaller, home-based alternatives. As part of our series, In This Life, Patty White takes a look at what that is like.
It's 5 o'clock in the evening, time for Elizabeth, or Lee DeMoli, to do one of her favorite things.
Eat.
DeMoli puts down the book she's reading in a soft chair next to her bedroom window. She grabs hold of her walker and makes her way down the hall to the kitchen.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, Lee.
Three other women sit at an oval table in a large eat-in kitchen. The chef on duty, Elena Barker, serves up homemade meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and peas and carrots.
There you go, my darling.
I was hoping for meatloaf tonight.
You were?
Yes.
Yay!
As the women settle into their dinner, they talk and tease each other. Turns out, jabs about age never get old.
Yes, you're 90-something, aren't you? Lee?
You had to tell.
95.
Oh, heavens.
It feels like a typical family dinner, but this isn't a private home. It's Elm Street Assisted Living.
It's a small, family-style assisted living for frail, elderly women.
Jill Wallace is the owner and manager of this 1800s-era house in Topsham, where up to six women at a time reside. They have their own private rooms and bathrooms on the first floor, where there are also two living rooms to spread out. In the large, open kitchen, they're free to join in the cooking or offer advice to the staff person making the meal.
I like spaghetti. I like it well-cooked. I don't like it al dente. So I've taught her to cook it. But she makes a good spaghetti sauce.
Elm Street opened about 10 years ago after Jill Wallace realized she wouldn't be able to support her aging mother on her social worker salary. When she saw this house for sale, she got a vision for how to care for her mom and others.
I thought, I will make a safe home for elderly women, and they will be able to live their lives at the end the way they want to.
To stay here, it costs between $4,000 to $5,000 a month, about average for assisted living in Maine. Wallace, who lives upstairs, is on call at night. A few staff rotate shifts so that one person is on at all times during the day. They cook, clean, bathe residents, help them get dressed, and dispense medications.
When you need care, real luxury is that you know your caregiver, and your caregiver knows you, and you have a warm and caring relationship. It's a very intimate thing to have someone give you a shower, help you toilet, comb your hair, or find your dentures.
The women who live here can come and go as they please, as long as they inform the staff. But Wallace says unless family or friends stop by to take them on an outing, most residents stick close to home.
I'm not a party-type person.
Before Lee DeMoli came here, she lived in Pennsylvania. After her husband passed away, she fell and broke her hip. She spent time in rehab and says it gave her a taste of what living in a larger facility feels like. She had a roommate and a shared bathroom. She says she missed her privacy.
I found the people coming and going almost too much. Well, they had bingo and things that it was friendly enough and everything, but I wasn't used to it. I had never been in any place like that.
The smaller, quieter group at Elm Street suits her better, she says.
I read, and I can come into my room when I'm tired and throw my feet up and without being disturbed. And I do puzzles out in the living room.
Lee's the master puzzle put-together person. She does the really hard ones, 1,500 pieces, 2,000 pieces.
Yeah, she's a master puzzle doer.
No, not really. I just take my time.
DeMoli gets frequent visits from her daughter, who lives nearby. But when she thinks about living into her 90s, she says she misses other family and friends who've passed away.
The only thing is, I say it's lonely. It's lonely.
She says she's thankful for the companionship she's found with residents and staff at Elm Street Assisted Living.
They become your friends. They know when you're hurting and when you're not hurting. That's the nice thing about them, and they're very conscientious about it. You know, they'll stop. If I'm sitting in my room, they'll stop down two or three times during their turn and say, well, how are you doing? Do you need something?
For DeMoli, that's a comfort.
This is your home. This is your home.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
In This Life is made possible by a grant from the Dorie Terhelert Charitable Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, March 2nd, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.